Welcome back to Blogs on Tape. Today's post is Mastering the Mega Dungeon, written by Miranda Elkins and originally published in June of 2017 on her blog In Places Deep at inplacesdeep.blogspot.com. Mastering the Mega Dungeon. Several months ago, I got the idea for this post when a person in the Sword and Wizardry Google Plus group asked me for advice on making a mega dungeon. I have two, Nightwick Abbey and Uz's Undercity, and I have run them quite a lot. By my probably flawed math, I have run Nightwick alone for more sessions than James ran his original Dwemermount campaign and online playtests combined. My online group often asserts that mega dungeons are my bread and butter. Presumably, I've learned something about making them and running them in all that time, and this is my attempt to try to organize that learning. A mega dungeon needs a theme. The standard theme is, of course, a wizard built it for weird wizard reasons. That is a fine one, and allows for a wide variety of encounters, tricks, and traps, but for reasons I will reveal later, I don't think it's necessarily the best idea. I think you need something stronger, more particular to the dungeon. Make sure the theme is something that speaks to you. It needs to come from some kind of media you don't mind revisiting to draw from the well when you're not in the mood or stuck for ideas. For me, that meant horror movies. It is also important for levels and sublevels to have themes that, while tied to the dungeon as a whole, make them unique. One of the bigger problems with the first version of Nightwick Abbey is that the first level showed all the cards too early. The new version instead has much more themed levels. A cloister, a garden, torture chambers, catacombs, etc., that help the DM and the players keep from getting bored. It also means there's a greater sense of discovery, because either the thing you discovered is new and interesting, a new level with a different theme, or hints at something about the level currently being explored. Footnote, the new version is at this point several years old. End footnote. Graphic. A dense dungeon map on digital graph paper. Caption, the player's map of first level of Nightwick Abbey, letter designations assigned by players. End graphic. I use geomorphs for Nightwick and the Pettigrew papers for Uz, and both of these sources allow me to have micro-themes within the bigger theme of the level of the dungeon. In the case of Nightwick Abbey, each geomorph has a broad description of what it is before I start stalking it. The geomorphs have since become fairly obvious to the online group, who keep track of their divisions, but I'm not so much bothered by that. Geomorphs are a very easy way to jacaze your dungeon. Stalking algorithms are incredibly important to the way I design dungeons and run games in general. The main reason I use them is to help keep the voices in my head quiet, but I think it's worth commenting on how they affect my games. Once I have assigned a geomorph or Pettigrew complex a theme, I divide the number of rooms in it by 3, always rounding up if I have to. That gives me the number of rooms with monsters in them. Then I use the treasure tables, made by Courtney Campbell of the Hack and Slash blog, to generate an equal number of small caches, 1d3 treasure parcels each. Half of these will go in rooms with monsters, a quarter of the ones without monsters will be trapped, and a quarter will just be free treasure. If the theme of the geomorph slash complex necessitates a boss monster, then I will increase their treasure parcels to the one labeled 4 plus 1d4 minus 2. I give each geomorph or complex a special room if I can think of one. If I can't think of one, then in the case of Nightwick Abbey, I don't sweat it that much because Nightwick's entire operating mode is a special. Footnote, it's a living dungeon that shifts when the PCs do things it doesn't like. End footnote. On the level map I posted above, there are only maybe two truly empty rooms. Only a third of the rooms have a monster encounter, but the rooms without them often have elaborate decorations or clues as to the nature of the dungeon. These are usually based on the geomorph, level, or dungeon theme. This is why it is important to have a very personalized theme. When you're stocking an 80-room level, eventually you will run out of ideas. However, if the themes you've picked are resonant enough with your brain, you should be able to fill in the gaps with something. It's also important to remember that something is better than nothing. All D&D is hackwork, and a half-assed idea that gets your game on the table is better than a perfect one that takes months. Graphic: a dungeon map composed of dense geomorphs. I would not even venture to try and count the number of rooms there are in this graphic. There's so many. Caption: I'ma stock all the rooms. End graphic. Back in the dim antiquity of 2009, when I first started thinking about the dungeon that would become Nightwick Abbey, there were a lot of hot takes saying that mega dungeons needed to be huge. At the time, I felt that Nightwick was too small, but was unwilling to enlarge it due to laziness. Then I ran level 1. For 5 years. About 77 rooms got me about 5 years of play, without my needing to make a second level, though I kept promising I would. Experience with the Uz Undercity, which is a little less traditionally designed, has convinced me that 60 to 80 rooms a level is plenty mega for players to get lost and have plenty of options to explore. I wouldn't advise trying to get by with just one level, but the current version of Nightwick has two 60 to 80 room levels and two roughly 30 room sublevels. This has been enough prep that I haven't touched it in 2 years, and it seems like I might not have to for a long while yet. One thing to remember is to restock your content. A simple version I use is that a room restocks on a 1 to 2 on the dice. The first week after the room has been explored, you roll a d20. The next week, a d12, then a d8, then a d6, then a d4, and you roll that d4 for each additional week until it restocks. This has worked very well for me when I remember to do it. I'll end with some pictures of my Nightwick Abbey prototype, the graph composition notebook I keep my dungeon notes in. Graphic: three photos of a graph composition notebook, front and back scrawled with messy doodles in purple and pink, of a grim structure atop a craggy hill, and dead kings with many eyes. In one corner, I live, I live, I live. In another, you will not be saved. In a third, into the odd. One photo of the book's interior shows the entry hall, a 12-room geomorph, fully keyed across the 2-page spread. End graphic. That was Mastering the Mega Dungeon, written by Miranda Elkins and read for you by Nick L.S. Whalen. Blogs on Tape is a project to make great RPG blogs more accessible. It's a community effort which you can contribute to by sending me blog posts that I ought to read. I'm surprised and embarrassed to admit that despite sharing social spaces and dozens of mutual friends for years, I was largely unaware of Miranda's excellent contributions to the hobby until fairly recently. So please, if there are great posts out there that are not getting attention from Blogs on Tape, email me, ls@paperspencils.com, so that, if possible, I can remedy the situation. And in any event, thank you very much for listening.